Emmanuel chapter. Chapters. Turn with me, I think Matthew in this. It may be Mark. It may be Luke. I don't know. The word Emmanuel. I don't think it's John. John starts out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And that's not part of this. Matthew. Somebody find it for me. Somebody look in Mark. Somebody look in Luke. The word Emmanuel. Is it Luke? Well, tell it. Well, you ain't reading, you're just making it up.
No. Because the...
Well, let's just find it. It's the angels. It's the angels.
The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel.
What verse?
23.
Of what chapter?
Matthew
1. Matthew 1. Oh, I was there, Matthew, and I changed my mind. Thank you for messing me up there, Paul. Matthew 21. Matthew 1:21. Matthew 1. That's in the book of Matthew. That's what I get for being...
Twenty-three.
The virgin will be a child and will call, give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So now we're talking about 750 years prior to that. We're getting... God's laying it out. It goes like this. Isaiah... was the man. I mean, this guy, in my mind, scripturally, spiritually, gumptionally, he is Rocky. He is who else did Rocky play?
Rambo.
He is Schwarzenegger. This guy is just plain out, I don't care what you think, here's what I'm going to do. Now, we studied back months ago, I didn't tell you this ahead of time, but we studied back months ago, and we had where Solomon, and then it broke down into the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes. Well, before long, the northern 2 tribes had offended God so much that he just, and the Syrians took over. These are the same, not Assyrians, Syrians. These are the same ones that the battle was going on still today. Remember, we've been talking about Syria, and even in the news now, they have been that much against Israel and that much troublemakers for a good 3,000 years, at least. All right, so the northern 10 tribes were eventually conquered, and they're gone. The southern 2 tribes, because they would have an intermittent of good king, bad king, indifferent king, very, very good, terrible, the worst, back and forth. But every once in a while, they would redeem themselves, and God would give them a good king, particularly Joash, that he gave them a little bit more time. Well, one of the kings in this process was a guy by the name of Ahaz. Ahaz. All right, Ahaz was... he could have been better. At times he was. God gave him a chance. He didn't want to learn. Did you ever play golf? Anybody know anything about golf? There's a term called a mulligan. Or we would say back home, a do-over. God kept giving Ahaz mulligans. But the idiot was so involved in himself that he would not accept it and learn the lesson. Ahaz was out one day going to be attacked. He had a chance to make peace. He had a chance to make peace with the northern tribes, but instead of making peace with the king that was going to attack him, he went to a different king and said, hey, how about us getting together? And I'll pay you taxes and you support me. In other words, we want to become your slave. Will you pay everybody all the taxes you got? And they control your country. You can call anything you want, but you're being their slave. Or a puppet, or whatever you want. All right. Well, that worked real nice for about a week or a month or a year. But before long, they said, well, if we get a little bit of tax out of them, we can get a whole lot of tax out of them. And if we can go ahead and conquer them after we defeat the enemy and conquer them, then we don't have to do anything for them because we control them completely. Well, Isaiah is trying to stop that. The king's out walking around one day, checking the status of the army and checking the status of the water supply in this walled-in city, Jerusalem. You've seen the... Let me look at ages. Probably two or three of you will not identify this. But can you remember the civil rights movement and the demonstrations and the Black Panthers and all the anti-war stuff going on in the 70s? And that was Isaiah all in one person. He and his son caught the king out in the wide open and just totally laid into it. God has given you chances. Basically, how stupid are you? Now, he may not use the word stupid, I don't know, but I'm sure the intention was there. That's the word I would have used. It says this way. When Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, so Judah is still the northern two tribes, King Rezin of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remalot, whose name I don't care, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem. What? The northern ten tribes, but they marched up to fight Jerusalem. How can the northern ten tribes march up? That's right, Jerusalem's on a hill. That hill far away, so the old Red Cross, they mean that on purpose. So they're coming down south, they're going to march up, they're going to throw a big fight right up on the ones that are still somewhat semi, with air quotes, following God. Okay. Israel marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower. God did not let the northern tribes beat the southern tribes. God was still trying to find some hope. Remember, what's the whole purpose of the tribe of Judah? There's one purpose in the world for the tribe of Judah. What is it?
Jesus.
That's right. The ancestors, predecessors, perk word you want to use, of Jesus. God cannot let that tribe be totally destroyed and wiped out because Jesus has to come from that tribe. It's already been told. We know that. So everything is... there was a movie called Boy in the Bubble like 40 years ago with John Travolta. Remember John Travolta? He had no immune system. So he lived in a bubble. Well, God really did put Judah in a bubble. Yeah, they had some tough times, but he would not let them be totally, completely, 1,000% wiped out. Like the other northern tribes, they blended so much, hard to identify them. Okay, now the house of David. David, you know, like David, Solomon, you know, that the house of David was told Aram has allied himself with Ephraim, another one of the ten tribes, a northern tribe though. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest were shaken by the wind. He got the cold chills put in his spine when they found out that the one enemy he had has now been doubled. And the Ephraimites were some bad old fighters. They just enjoyed fighting. There are people, there are nations like that. They just enjoy fighting. That was this bunch. I kid you not. My family growing up is that way. You know, most of you all will go to a family reunion and take a badminton set or volleyball. I kid you not. We took boxing gloves. And they would take volleyballs. But in the volleyball, they would get all the adult men in a big circle and put all of us kids in the middle and play dodgeball. Now, we've got 44 of my father's cousins fought in World War II. Most of them came out and they became carpenters, you know, would use a handsaw, you know what I'm saying? They didn't try to get you out, they tried to knock you out. And did a very good job at times. If you didn't have whelps on you from the dodgeball going through you didn't play well. Well, so that was, they didn't like them feed from mice for that reason. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Sheer-Zash-Sub. Now, what a name. He ought to have been arrested for just naming his kid that. Sheer-Zash-Sub. To meet Ahaz in the end of the aqueduct at the upper pool. These guys were so advanced. They had water systems. They would have pools of water up on top. They had artesian wells that would come up, and they would make an aqueduct system that would go through the top. Down at the bottom of it, Jerusalem, they had a lot of water there. On the road to the washerman's field, water there, washing, you know, say to him, be careful, be calm. Don't be afraid. Do not lose heart, because the two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, of the son of Rakamil, Aram and Ephraim and Rakamil's son, have plotted against your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah, let us tear it apart, divide it among ourselves, and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Now, how did this preacher know this? He wasn't a double knot spy. He didn't go out there and walk among them. But he knew exactly what God is going to do and what other people are going to do. That's why we call him a prophet. He foretold what was going to happen. Now, basically, if you look at the scriptures, the way I see it, there are two types of prophets in the Old Testament and New Testament, I think, as well. One is a prophet like Isaiah. Here's what's going to happen in the future. Sometimes it's 5 years, sometimes it's next week, sometimes it's 500 or 5,000 years. But it's the coming future. I personally believe that Daniel is a book of prophecy. Isaiah is a book of prophecy. You might want to think about Revelation is a book of prophecy. And there are other prophetic things throughout the Bible, both Old and New Testament, but these books are quite dedicated to prophecy, where God is actually telling the person what to say. Do I think the person just is that smart? No, no. It's too accurate. I mean, anybody can say, well, start about June the 15th through about September, October 15th, every day near 3 o'clock, give or take an hour, it's going to rain. Well, that's not prophecy. That's pretty much, you know that's going to happen. That's not prophecy. The second prophecy, and it is also biblical, is to proclaim. Not to predict, but to proclaim. The proclamation to proclaim should be every one of us. We all have the responsibility to be prophets. Last chapter of Matthew. Last section. Matthew is before Mark. Last chapter of Matthew. Good night. In a minute. How come there's only Mark? There's Mark. We don't want Mark. Last chapter, that's Mark 2. Verse, I'm going to go with 18. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you always until the end of the age. He told them to prophesy. You can't baptize them until you tell them what it means. That's the first proclaiming of Jesus himself. Then what? Teaching them. So we should all be, not, I'm not talking about one of them Gene Dixon type, you know, that used to make that proclamation every year at the National Tattletale and Liar Club or whatever it was. No, I'm not talking about that. To proclaim what God has told us the truth is. Dwight, do you believe that you can prophesy anything new? No. Absolutely. Let me give you another verse, since we're versing today. Seems like a versatile day. Verse 18, Revelation 22. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, meaning revelation. Okay. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. Now, we've seen the plagues. Blood, water turned into blood, dead, dry. Not good. Okay. If anyone takes away the words from the book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share of the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. So right there, we're not to add anything or take anything from it. And all these books you can go out and buy about prophet this and prophet that, and we get most of the newsletters I get here I throw away. One of them is sent out and is signed by prophet so-and-so, this, that, and the other church. You take a lot of responsibility. Okay, so he tells him, go out and tell this guy this. Be careful. I love this. Two smoldering stubs of firewood. He's talking about the other two kings, which are absolutely nothing. They're burnt out to the stub, the nubbins. They're not going to last long. They'll burn out quickly. Don't worry about them. God is telling Isaiah to tell the current king. Do not lose heart. Half the battle is lost when you decide you're going to lose. If you think you can't do it, you'll be exactly right. You'll make sure that you don't do it. Your mind just gives up. He says, be careful about that. Well, he says, they plotted your ruin. Let us invade Judea. Let us tear them apart. This is what the sovereign Lord says. So now we're saying, here's what God says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus. Damascus is where?
Syria.
It hadn't gone away. And haven't we heard about Damascus like in the last 10 years in the news, like all the time? For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only rising. Within 65 years, Ephraim too will be shattered into a people. Now, that's something that some of these people will live long enough to see. I hate to say it, I don't think I'm giving away anything else, but most of us here are over 65 years old, or within a day or two anyway. And some of us can remember 65 years ago. Well, so could they. So they saw the prophecy fulfilled. A lot of it. Within 65 years, the nation of Israel, Ephraim, is gone, shattered, destroyed. The head of Ephraim is Samaria. The head of Ephraim is Samaria. The head of Samaria is only Remal's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. That is the key verse of all. Don't chicken out. Know that it's going to happen. God said it's going to happen. Let it happen. Howie Mandel. Have y'all seen one of his 500 different shows he's got, where they got a bunch of suitcases up on the wall? One of them has like a dollar, one of them has like, what, $1 million or something like that? And you get to them, there's two or three people, and there's two or three suitcases left, and the guy from up in the black box or whatever it is says, you can pick one more suitcase to throw away, or you can take $180,000. Have you seen that one? And most of them, has anybody ever got it to the million? Yeah? Talking about $1 million, how about that dude on Jeopardy? Whoa! He's a machine. I think that's Hal the Robot, just in clothes. Watch him. He's like a frozen... His eyes never move. That's why I don't think he's a real person. Doesn't even blink. I'm going to watch him tonight and see if he even breathes. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord, your God, for a sign, whether it's in the deepest of depths or the highest of heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to death. I don't need a sign. Oh, remember old Gideon? That's the sign man right there. But remember Gideon's sign? If the fleece, which is the skin of the lamb, if it's wet and everything else is dry, God's with me. Well, it was wet and everything was dry. Well, that's an accident. If it's dry and everything else is wet, Next morning, got up, it's dry and everything else was. Well, okay. But there was another one where the axe heads, now you know what an axe head is. It's the other part of the axe beside the handle. They're floating on top of the water. Now, axe heads are not supposed to float. You know what I'm saying? But they did. God was giving him a sign. I don't know, and I don't, unless you really want to volunteer something, I don't know if people ask for signs anymore. Do you do, Paula?
Well, those kids that were treading water out in the ocean, he was praying, Lord, if you're real and if you're going to come rescue us, and the boat was named Amen.
And God said, if you weren't out of here, I wouldn't have to go that much trouble.
Out there, skipping school. And
there you go.
Yeah. Water, and the next thing you know, they were at a tread in a tidal.
Riptide.
And it kept floating away, and they were treading water for like 2 hours. And the kids started praying. And the boat that came and rescued them was named Daniel.
There you go.
I
wonder if they thanked God after they got out.
Yeah.
That would have been the better one. But there are times in the Bible where people have asked God for a sign. The question is, best 2 out of 3, best 3 out of 5? You know, if we ask for a sign, we better be willing to take on what the answer to the sign is. Yeah. Joseph.
Look at all the signs you can read as you drive along the road where they read your palms, all that kind of stuff. People seeking signs today.
There's one north Fort Myers.
Fort Charlotte.
See, if I was that woman, I would have a sign on the door. I knew you were coming.
Yeah.
There you go. I will not ask God for a sign. I will not put God to test. He's convinced. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. It is not enough to be patient. It is not enough to try the patience of men. Why do you try the patience of God also?" Well, there you go. Keep putting God off, keep putting God off. Not listen to Him. I'd rather do it myself. I often will be that way. I'm strong enough to do this by myself. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. You've got your little magic marker with you? I know some of you do. Are you ready for this one? Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Kind of heard that before, haven't we? Like every Christmas. That's why this is called the Emmanuel chapters. He will eat curds and honey. He knows enough to reject wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and the right, the land of two kings you dread will be laid to waste. Before the birth of Jesus, this takes place here, right here, roughly 745, 755 B.C. Well, both these nations were destroyed long before the birth of Jesus. So that prophecy did come true. We go on. The Lord will bring on you and your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. That's not good. Assyria is bad. Assyria, which is part of Babylon and part of mostly Persia. That area, which is what's Persia called today? Iran? Well, you ran, but I ronned. You see, so Iran would come in and capture him and knock down the kings of Israel. So you stretch God's patience too much. God's going to take care of this enemy, but another enemy will come upon you. All you're doing is treading water. In that day, the Lord will whistle for flies from the distant streams of Egypt, for bees from the land of Assyria. They will come and settle in the steep ravines and the crevices and the rocks. on all the thorn bushes and all the water holes. In that day, the Lord will use a razor hired from beyond the river. Now, he's not talking about a razor to cut your face with. He's talking about an enemy, a fighting force. He's going to bring them in. The pestilence of flies. You ever been in a swarm of flies? Now, I know you've been in a swarm of honeybees. Not honeybees, but love bugs. Can you imagine that with honeybees swarming on you? Or flies just getting all over you like that? Wouldn't that be pleasant? Flies bite and honeybees sting. Not good. But the razor, the one that will attack and cut them all to pieces, will be even worse.
The mess that I do is best, too. Get all the sticky stuff that you can't get rid of.
Yep.
Quick.
Yep.
We know about that.
You know about that one, huh? There was a ball game just recently at Cincinnati that a bee swarm came in and just covered them. Not good. He will say this. The king of Assyria, well, in that day the Lord will use a razor hired from beyond the river, the king of Assyria, to shave your head and the hair on your legs and take off your beards. Also in that day, men will keep alive a young cow and two goats. In Israel, hair was significant. Extremely significant. To insult someone, and it happened primarily with King David's men. To insult someone, you would shave their face. They did it by they cut half the guy's beards off. So embarrassed was David for those men that he put them away until their beard grew back out. So to shave someone's head, to shave their beard, this is the only time, I'll be honest about it, the only time I can remember in the entire Old Testament that it talks about shaving somebody's legs. Joe Namath did it, I know, but that's a different time. But you shave your legs, the hair on your legs, your beards. And that day a man will keep alive a young cow and two goats because of the abundance of milk they give. He will have courage to eat. The best, I can't figure out whether this courage means cheese or cottage cheese. I'm not really sure. Little Miss Muffet sat on top of it eating her curds and whey. Whey is a whipped up thin milk. It's not. It's terrible. It's foam.
King James says butter.
Says butter.
Butter.
Butter. Boy, there was not a problem with cholesterol back then. If you're sitting there eating gobs of butter, it says butter. Woo. Well, you're going to keep. But the thing is, the goats have a much higher fat content than cows do anyway. Cows are about 3-7% fat, butter fat, and goats can be up to 12-14%. So it's a lot thicker. Goat milk. My grandfather, some of y'all maybe, if they live in the country, had ulcers. And he kept nanny goats and milked them down because there was so much butter fat in the goat milk that it would calm the ulcer down. So you've heard of that, Joe. I imagine some of you probably heard that's the old days.
We had two goats on our farm, and we sold the milk because somebody needed it for medicinal purposes.
Tell what else goat milk's good for. A young child that's not getting enough milk or not getting enough nutrition, goat's milk is very, very good for them. It is rich. You can buy goat milk in a can. Did you know that? You can actually go out and buy goat milk. I've done it for my baby sheep, but it's very good for them. Joe.
My first congregation, I had a man in South Bend hospital who was dying. The doctors wouldn't keep him because he had a bleeding ulcer. And he'd been in the hospital for 7 days, and they couldn't stop the bleeding. And he called his wife and said, bring the clothes up. He said, I'm going home. And Dr. said, we can't release you. He said, I'm going home. He said, I'm going to die. I'm going to die at home anyway, but he's not going to die. He said, I'll cure myself. He stopped on the way home, and the little man had goats, and he bought 5 goats in a village with the understanding the man would milk the goats for 5 days to bring him the milk. And he started drinking goat's milk to clear his stomach right up.
If you're adventurous enough, they make goat's milk fudge.
Yes.
Strong.
Good.
Well, whatever. It's in the Bible right there. The man's going to have 2 goats and a cow and eat butter all day long. In that day, in every place, there will be 1,000 vines worth 1,000 silver shekels. There will be only briars and thorns. So if you had vines, which should produce grapes, the grapes are just going to have briars and thorns. In other words, they're no good. They've gone back to the wild. There were 1,000 vines worth 1,000 shekels. As for all the hills once cultivated by the hoe, you will no longer go for the fear of the briars and the thorns. It will become places where the cattle are turned loose and the sheep run. Talked about it the other day. I think it was in Sunday school. We talked about what's called a multifloral rose. Any of y'all live on an old farm? Oh, and you all should have. Out in the country where the federal government brought in and told you to plant these instead of along your hedgerows instead of fences and stuff. Very tiny rose and had stickers like you would not believe. If you fell into it, you're going to be bleeding before you get out of it. It is just terrible. Yeah.
They have that in Haiti. They use it for fences over there.
And it's just vicious. Problem is it keeps growing if you don't trim it back. So now we're going to have briars. People don't even go there to plant crops. It's just too rough. Let the cattle and the sheep be there. The Lord said to me, any questions on 7? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to blow through there. That's a tough time. It's a tough time. Because he didn't listen. Because you try to make God wait. The Lord said to me, take a large scroll and write on it with an ordinary pen. Now, you, Carolyn, what does pen say for pen? Because they did not have big pens back then.
With a man's pen.
With a man's pen, P-E-N. Matur Shala Hash Bazar. And I will call Uriah the priest and Zechariah the son of Jehoiakim as reliable witnesses for me. So I went to the prophetess. She conceived and gave birth to a son. The Lord said to me, name him Matha Shamar Hashbaz. Before the boy knows how to say my father or my mother, and the wealth of Damascus and the plunder of Samaria will be carried off by the king of Assyria. So Assyria is going to attack Syria. They didn't like each other. Never did. But they're all fairly even. Now look at this, Assyria. Where will you hear the name Assyria farther on down in the Old Testament? And you will hear that name farther on down in the Old Testament. Anybody want to try to remember? Remember a fellow that went fishing? Jonah? He was sent to go to Assyria. And said that place was so large that it said so many 100,000 people who could not read or write, which probably meant children. They would take 2 days to walk across that city, which means it would have been huge. Huge. So Assyria was a powerhouse in those days. And they are at still war, part of it, with Israel today. Now, part of it later became Turkey, and Turkey's not really friendly. Once it became, added Turk and turned them into Muslims as well. So we're going back that many hundred years ago. Well, this is about 750 or so B.C., so you got 2,000 years from since Christ, so you're looking at 2,800 years ago.
You know, you've given us information that I've never heard of before, and all such to us and places that we're telling us, this ain't too long ago.
And it's getting more and more in our days, too.
You see it every day. Just, you don't have to watch the news. You see it right next door to you. You see it everywhere.
Well, that's what prophecy is. It shows itself. So, Assyria, they're going to fight it out. The Lord spoke to me again. Now, this is Isaiah telling us. God's talking to him. We don't know if it's in a dream, if it's in a vision, if he just hears him. Whatever the difference is, God spoke to Isaiah, but Isaiah listened and did something about it. You ever have a good friend give you a piece of advice? You say, nobody believes that. You know, who wants to do that?
You're sorry.
Yeah, and you're sorry sometimes. Because this people have rejected the gentle flowing waters of Shiloh and rejoices over Rizon, the son of Remaliah. Therefore, the Lord is about to bring against them the mighty flood waters of the river. You had it made, was a nice, cool, gentle breeze. There was a spring growing. Freshness was coming from it. But you didn't like what God was giving you. So you ask for more, and you're going to get it. The king of Syria with all his pomp, it will over... Now, this is talking about the floodwaters, okay? The king of Syria with all his pomp will over... Anybody ever been to high school graduation? Can you remember it? Remember the name of the song for the high school graduation? Pomp and Circumstances. It means putting on the dog. Putting on a show. That's what it means. It will overflow all of its channels, run over all of its banks, sweep on in Judea, swirling over it. If you saw the news last night, you saw water overflowing the banks. When water can pick up a car and float it down the river, that ain't good. That's a lot of water. And they're right on top of the street, so it means the water's come from somewhere. And it just overwhelms you. You spoke about the two kids in the boat that got washed out. Anybody ever been hit by a strong wave? It doesn't even have to be a tidal wave, which gets you from underneath. Just a strong wave, just knock you over the picket fence. What's a picket fence?
It's the same thing as what you're describing.
Oh.
They call it a picket
fence. I've not heard that. It's just so strong, powerful. That's what's going to happen to them. It sweeps into the Judea, swirling over it, passing through it, and reaching up to the neck. Its outspread wings will cover the breadth of your land, O Emmanuel. And this happens in the land that Christ roamed and taught in 700 plus years from now. In Judea. We mistakenly call that Israel, but that's really not Israel. It's Judea. Israel's gone. Raise the war cry, you nations, and be shattered. Listen, all you distant lands. Prepare for battle. This is God telling him now. Prepare for battle and be shattered. Number 10, devise your strategy. But it will be thwarted. Shakespeare, best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. Yeah. You can plan all this stuff out, but if one thing changes, the British really should have had Washington before he crossed the Delaware, but a slight freeze came that night and solidified that muddy, swampy area so they could get there, get their cannons, get to the boats, get across, attack. Bob, that's where you're from, isn't it? Delaware? You ever been to Delaware? I haven't. And just the thing of a few degrees of temperature drop made it happen that they got out of the way and they went over and captured the British, I think it was 1,200 Hessians without firing a shot. Devise your strategy, but it'll be thwarted. Propose your plan, but it will not stand, for God is with us. So whatever you plan to do that's against God's will, it will not happen. Now, it may temporarily look like a setback. Sure, the devil was quite excited when he saw Jesus nailed to the cross. Probably not so happy when he saw the empty tomb. So sometimes the plans of others don't work out either. Verse 11. The Lord spoke to me, again, here we go, with a strong hand upon me. Now, does that mean he actually just touched him and grabbed hold of him? Warning me not to follow the ways of the people. Do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. For the Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard holy. He is the one you are to fear. Don't worry about your enemies. How much time and money do we waste worrying about things that could never happen? And if they did, we couldn't do anything about it anyway. I mean, seriously. And we've laughed about it several times, but it's the same thing. Sixth grader. Cubans are welcoming atomic rocket bomb warhead, I guess, from Russia. We were practicing every day under our desk with our heads tucked down. Like that was going to keep us safe from atomic bomb. You know? Really? Sometimes we just over practice. God is with us. The Lord said to me, with a strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the ways of the people. Don't call it conspiracy. We want to blame everybody for something else, don't we? If somebody doesn't like what's going on, it's going to be because of racism or pride or money or some kind of conspiracy. Sometimes we just say, we did it ourselves. We made it wrong ourselves. There was a song in the 50s. Butch Randolph did it with a crackety jack, the saxophone. And the punchline was, "Somebody's always picking on me." You remember that song? Who's smoking in the boys' room?
Ray Charles
did it too?
Charlie Brown.
Yeah, that's Charlie Brown. Somebody's always picking on me. Well, don't at times we see people just blame everybody else for what they did wrong? And sometimes it is our fault. Fear God. He's the one to fear. He is the one you are to dread. And He will be a sanctuary for both houses of Israel. He will be a stone that causes men to stumble. Jesus is called a stone later on. Remember the capstone? He talks about the capstone that caused men to stumble. The rock that makes them fall. For the people of Jerusalem will be a snare and a trap. Many of them will stumble. Let me read this. I left the wrong word out. Again, for the people of Jerusalem, He will be a stone and a trap. You remember, most of the Jews in Jerusalem turned against Him. They're the ones that hollered, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." And they're the ones that would not accept Him as a Savior and join Him. They want to stay Jews. He became their snare, their trap. Many of them will stumble. They will fall and be broken. They will be snarled and captured. Bind up the testimony and seal up the laws among my disciples. Bind up the testimony. What do you call a guy that puts the book together? A bookbinder. Collect this stuff together. And that's what has been done both in the Old and the New Testament for us. Seal it up the law among my disciples. Seal it. To make it your generation, our generation, made homemade jellies. Remember homemade jellies? You pick some apples or strawberries, the one I remember the most, raspberries, and you'd mash them all up and you put enough sugar in it to light up the world. Then my mother would melt wax. Remember the wax? And put a little paraffin. Melt that paraffin and put it down and seal the top of it so the air couldn't get to it and run it. Then put his cap on top of it so it would be protected. Remember those. Seal up the law. Protect the law among the disciples. The word disciple does not mean 12 men. The word disciple means followers. Do understand that's the true meaning of that word, the followers. So, seal up my law among my followers. Nobody else cares anyway. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding His face from the house of Jacob. I will put my trust in Him. Yeah, we got time. I will put my trust in Him. Here I am, the children of the Lord have given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty, who dwells in Mount Zion. What's Mount Zion? The town that Jerusalem's built, the mountain that Jerusalem's built on. Marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. If you're called a Zionist, it means you believe that Israel is something special. Be proud. Somebody calls you a Zionist, say, "Thank you very much. You're right." Oh, look at this one here. When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritualists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God instead? Don't give to soothsayers. Don't give to fortune tellers. Don't read tarot cards, etc., etc., etc. They're no different. Matter of fact, if you remember back prior to this, about 200 years, Saul, when he was getting ready to go into battle, couldn't find the permission or the strength or the encouragement from Samuel, so he called Samuel out of the grave. Went to a spiritual medium and called Samuel's spirit out of the grave, and that was his downfall right there. Counting on the spirits and not upon the Spirit of God.
It was Hitler's downfall too.
Exactly right. Hitler was the same way. Exactly right. Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? In the great musical The Lamb of God, or Behold the Lamb, there is a song. It says this: why do you, the angels singing this at the tomb, why do you seek the living among the dead? It's a heart-touching song. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Far too often, we look in the wrong place. If you lost your keys, don't look in the icebox. Or if you look in the icebox and something's really wrong. If, particularly if you find them in there. I guess you... Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? That's a great tenet of the Mormon church, is going back and be... That's why you found... That's what started the Ancestry.com, was the Mormon church, identifying people's ancestors so they could be baptized for the dead. And they still have rituals where you can name your ancestors in the past that weren't saved, and you go back and get baptized for them, and they're brought into the church. Did y'all knew that, didn't you? Y'all knew, everybody knew that. Good. They do not speak according to His word. They have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam throughout the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, looking upward, and will curse their king and their God. People dependent on the government and God for everything and not do anything that suits themselves, to do the right word. Last verse, verse 22. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into outer darkness. That sounds a little bit like hell. Thrown out into utter darkness. So he's giving a prophecy of Christ as well as prophecy of the final judgment right there. And this all comes from God. He didn't make it up. It comes from God. Any questions on 7 or 8? We went a little slower because I think it's important to understand these prophecies. These are prophecies, and we can see signs and signs of them coming true. Anybody? Any thoughts? Well, let's look forward to chapter 9. Unto us a child is born. Now, you may have heard that. I don't know if you ever... If you think you've heard that, you might be right.